Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. So exciting. Claude, I know you're looking forward to a day of humping. How are you doing?
I totally forgot it was hump day. This truly changes everything. That's what I love about the morning toast, is that you're never going to finish an episode and not know what day it is.
Yeah. No, that's what you can expect here at TMT. Just always letting you know what day of the week it is. I feel like it's a really good positive Wednesday. So far this week has been really kind to us, I feel. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, things were a little chaotic this morning. Just woke up, my computer doesn't turn on. But that's what I love about being at Brian's. He's a media mogul, entrepreneur. He had a spare computer, a spare ring light. Like, I think my actual video now is going to be the best it's ever been, because Brian literally opened this computer out of the box. Like, it was brand new. He's like, yeah, here, take it.
The feeling of getting a new computer, I personally hadn't experienced it in about 5 years, and I'm a brand new person. It's like my mental hard drive is clean. My Retina display is on point. I'm really feeling this, and it's really making working so much more fun, because I'm like, oh, I have to work, but I can pick up my new computer to do it.
You know what? You're right. Your Retina display, like, is on fleek.
Yeah, no, that's what they say to me. That's what they've been saying. That's what they're saying about me, like, in the streets.
Oh, that's the feedback?
Yeah, they're like, ooh, Retina on point. So that's all you can ask for.
Well, I hope everyone had a great Tuesday. Our show was, like, so chaotic, so long. Today's going to be just as long, hopefully not as chaotic. We do have Dear Toasters today, which we did postpone from yesterday, just to remind you guys. And to remind you guys about our new segment, I haven't actually checked the email, so I don't know if we got a lot of submissions, because I'm, like, the worst podcaster on the planet. But if you haven't unburdened yourself yet, head over to unburdenyourselves@gmail.com and unburden us with some of your most embarrassing things so that we can help you help us.
Yeah, whatever's weighing on you, let it off your chest, and we will be here to support you. We don't judge, really. Sometimes we do, but most of the time we try not to.
A little.
A little bit, but it just depends. It depends if it was like a hit and run 2 times. Remember that?
Sorry. Yeah, I do. Also, so yesterday, I'm so caught up. I've never been, like, so caught up on my TV ever. Like, I finished Summer House, so good. We're finally getting into, like, the Paige and Craig of it all. I finished Drag Race. I watched New Jersey last night, obviously, which we'll discuss in the TV recap, the season premiere. The premiere episode that you and I were edited out of.
Oh my God, we were texting about a million things last night. So I when I finally saw that, the fact that, like, Margaret's Pride Party just was edited as a footnote in Time, I was about to tell you and be like, Pride? But we were just talking about a million things I didn't have a chance to. Okay, but there was so much footage, and, like, in the coming this season, and it's from that party, but I guess we're just, you know, edited out.
Not relevant.
No, not, well, we knew that. We knew
what's
that,
interesting,
Claude.
We knew that. What's interesting is that the promo photo they've been using for the new season, which features, like, I think it's Melissa, Jackie, and Teresa, is from Margaret's Pride Party. Brian Kelly and Pasta Fazul are in the background of that photo. I am there too, but I am too short to be seen. I'm right behind Teresa Giudice. So they're using that promo pic, though they're not actually showing the event in which the pic was taken. Therefore, false advertising. We should sue, like those people who are suing Ana de Armas.
Oh my God, that's a really good point. That happens all the time with Bravo. They, like, give us a scene in a preview and then it never comes to fruition. Let's see how the Ana de Armas stands do with their suit, and then maybe we'll follow suit.
Right. Maybe they'll set some legal precedent for us.
Yeah. But it was fun to see the gang back together. I mean, New Jersey, it's always fun when a new franchise premieres and you just like remember how much you love everyone. But I feel that way, especially with New Jersey, because of my love, my undying love for Margaret Josephs. And it's just like every time there's a new season. And I also feel that way like about Melissa and Joe. And I just.
Me too.
It was a pleasure to see them back on my screen. I didn't realize how much I needed them and how much I missed them.
My theory is that I think a lot of crazy shit happens in the second half of their filming schedule. And so stuff from the beginning just got cut out. That's what I think.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, cut to the chase. And you know what? I wasn't in the mood to like watch a whole evening and like knowing I wasn't going to be in any footage because I'm too short and I'm too shy and I didn't do anything interesting with myself.
Yeah, no, I like how we're talking about like this party as if we were even remotely relevant when you know we sat in the corner eating tacos like we did nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like the first week that I knew I was pregnant. So I really wasn't like doing anything interesting. Just like trying to stand and not tell people, you know?
Yeah.
And now look how far we've come. Okay, I guess that actually shows that this season was filmed. This last night's episode was 9 months ago. Because I was trying to figure out when, I was trying to figure out like when it was from. It was nice to see just like fun summer vibes. Feels like a different lifetime.
Yes, I was actually thinking Teresa's party like looked really fun.
It like the setting like looked fun, but the people.
Like having a pool party to go to with lots of food and drink, like that sounds fun right now.
Yeah, but the mood was just off.
Off, agreed.
Okay.
And you know what I found to be, I mean, I don't want to spoil the recap, but I just want to say Frank Catania having a girlfriend is shocking to me. I don't know why.
It's hurtful. It's wrong. It shouldn't be happening. And if it is, then this woman must be an incredible woman. I would have liked to meet her. And she should be on the show because she must be
stand-up.
She must be so utterly fantastic to have wooed a man like Frank.
A stand-up gal.
Yeah. I totally agree. That was just a curveball.
We will preserve the rest of our thoughts for the TV recap segment, obviously, because before that, we've got Dear Toasters, we've got Fast Five, and honestly, I just think we have so much on our docket. I don't really have much to update everyone on. Like, I think we should just dive in.
We should dive in. Plus, I have another doctor's appointment today, so I'm running a tight schedule. Plus, we're recording the Redheads today. Make sure you submit your questions for the Redheads to theredheadsbookclub@gmail.com. Even if it's not a question, I would like to know your thoughts on the book if you have some interesting thoughts. So hit us up. We're going to How was my doctor's appointment yesterday?
Yes.
It was good. You know, it's crazy. They have this new technology when you get a sonogram that you can see 3D, where they like sort of make it look like an image, not just the black and white footage. And I've gotten to use it a few times over the past few months when I've gone to the doctor. But like baby's always hiding and it's not like as so premium sometimes. But yesterday I got some really cool footage and that made it all worthwhile. But it was just a chaotic morning for me yesterday. Like everything that could go wrong did.
100%.
Yeah. But anyways, it's all very exciting. So I guess without further ado, so I can make it on time to this doctor's appointment.
Yes, we respect your medical prioritization.
Yeah, because I was late yesterday.
Ooh.
Yeah, they called me when I was on my way, which is like, I get so much anxiety when I'm late and I don't fucking leave the house. So like the one time in 2 weeks that I'm leaving the house and I'm not even on time, I just, there's no excuse. No,
jinx.
None. So now, without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. How?
And today's episode is brought to you by Little Spoon. Little Spoon is a one-stop shop for healthy, easy mealtime and snack time for your baby, toddler, and big kids, delivered straight to your door. Little Spoon makes everything fresh and uses absolutely nothing artificial. It's just like homemade, and it's all delivered to your door and ready in seconds. Pop your meals in the fridge or freezer and use them when you're ready. It's literally that easy. I just think conceptually, Little Spoon is a great concept for a brand because, of course, when you have a baby, you have tons of different like dietary needs, and you have to shop at a million different places. But Little Spoon makes it easy because they're taking care of all the kids in your family, not just the babies. They've got the toddlers. They've got the teenagers. All of their recipes taste amazing, and their nutrition balanced and free of junk, so you're helping to set your little ones up for a lifetime of health. I've tried a lot of their foods. I know you have a lot of the baby foods, but I have a lot of the big kid food, and it's really good, like really delicious, so easy to make. You know, I'm no Rachel Ray, and it's something I can handle. So I think that that means most people can handle it as well.
No, it's a brilliant idea, and I'm so glad that the execution is so on point.
The best part is that the price is right, with kids' meal just under $5 and baby food and smoothie snacks under $3. It's trying to make just Little Spoon a little easy. Start the new year with Little Spoon. Get 50% off your first order with code TOAST at checkout. The code is TOAST, T-O-A-S-T, at checkout to get 50% off your first Little Spoon order, which is pretty substantial in my opinion, and a deal you're just not going to want to miss out on.
Great. We love Little Spoon. It is camper tested, counselor approved.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Honey. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. So here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping online, as most of us do, on a daily basis. When you go to checkout, the Honey button will drop down and all you have to do is press apply coupons. Wait a few seconds. Honey will search for coupons and find the best one and apply it to your cart. And you just like literally watch your total checkout balance go down. It's magical. There's no reason not to do it. Honey is so easy to use. It's free to download and it just saves you money. Like, I just don't understand why anyone would hear this and say, oh no, I don't want that, because why wouldn't you? I've saved on, and by the way, like they work on so many brands. Like, I've saved on makeup, on food, on like electronics. There's nothing Honey can't save you money on. So if you don't already have it, you are straight up missing out. And by getting it, you're just going to do yourself a favor when you go to joinhoney.com/toast. So if you want to download it for free, it's a browser extension. Go to joinhoney.com/toast. joinhoney.com/toast. I just don't think you'll regret it. I really don't.
Oh no, I don't know how you could. It's saving you money with Honey. It's such a wonderful extension.
Yes, honey.
Okay, let's get into the stories. We have a lot to talk about today. The first story, which is a follow-up from yesterday, Whoopi Goldberg has been suspended from The View following the Holocaust comments that she made, saying it was not about race. ABC News President Kim Godwin tweeted, "Effective immediately, I am suspending Whoopi Goldberg for her wrong and hurtful comments. While Whoopi has apologized, I've asked her to take time to reflect and learn about the impact of her comments." This is surprising.
To be honest, like... Yeah, but I don't know. I think this like sucks. Like, I don't think this was the right decision. Ass.
I don't think it was the right decision either. Yeah. When I saw it, it just like doesn't feel right. It doesn't, again, like, how is this productive whatsoever? I guess we won't be getting our Holocaust Education Week at The View.
No, it's not productive. And like, I think even though this statement from Kim feels very stern, like, we are taking a stance, goodbye, I actually think for Whoopi, and like, to minimize the scandal, this is like the best outcome for her. She gets 2 weeks off. Like, when she comes back, you know, the world moves so fast. No one will have remembered this. Like, we'll all just move on. And there's really no teachable moment. Like, I know I watched her on Colbert and then I watched her intro to yesterday's episode and I just wasn't feeling warm and fuzzy about it. Not that she said anything wrong. It was just like a vibe. Like, I personally didn't find it to be like the most sincere thing that was ever said on the planet. So I don't know. It just feels like she did the bare minimum and now she gets 2 weeks off and she'll come back and we all forget about it. Where I don't, and honestly, I don't believe in cancel culture. Like, I don't believe in somebody saying something wrong and instead of, you know, talking about it, doing Holocaust Education Day on The View, we're just going to shut her down, make her stay in her house for 2 weeks. I just don't think it's productive. And I don't think that it really teaches a lesson here, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it'll be 2 weeks to flatten the curve, though, for sure.
I don't know. I think this is the wrong move, like 100%. I think this like kind of sucks. Like, it's not even like they're making a statement like, we're firing Whoopi. No, they're not doing like really anything except kind of letting her off the hook. Let it diffuse. Let her, you know, get her bearings and then come back. So not only are they not really making a statement, they're also not helping the situation. Like, there is a problem in our country about like Holocaust education. So just shutting the conversation down for 2 weeks really doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help Whoopi. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help the Jewish community. It doesn't help The View audience. I think this could have been handled better, and I don't believe in, like, shutting people down. I believe in guiding them through the process.
I could not agree with you more. I think you have said everything that I'm thinking, and I really have nothing further to add. This, to me, is just
not... Oh, my God. Am I a genius?
No, yeah, no, I have no further comment, really.
Yeah, like, and I don't know. I just, when I heard it, I was actually surprised, first of all. I'm like, oh, my God, like... I don't know, because I think a lot of Jews can relate to, like, you feel like sometimes, like, people don't really acknowledge anti-Semitism. So to see this conversation being had, like, I actually am really relieved, because it's like the Jews' biggest nightmare for people to, like, forget about the Holocaust or minimize the Holocaust. So for us, it was a really big deal what she said. And I don't know, I just feel like we really could have used this as, like, a very public, teachable moment for Holocaust education. And not only are we not getting that, we're getting, like, the opposite.
Yeah, I totally, completely agree.
And I did watch Colbert when she's like, stop writing me. And it was rude. Like, it wasn't the, you know, face and tone of someone who understands how deeply she's hurt a community with deep-rooted generational trauma. Like, I just don't think she understood that. So
no.
I was disappointed in her, and I just would have loved to have seen, you know, a coming together moment, and we're not getting that. So this sucks.
We're getting 2 weeks to let it die down. It's really 2 weeks to flatten the curve, honestly.
Literally.
Yeah, to flatten the curve of backlash. No, we know
it
that.
It never works.
Never works.
Yeah. So, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Let's move on to our next story, which is like a strange twist in this Adele story. Adele versus Las Vegas. So Adele has been holed up with Rich Paul after a volatile romance added to Vegas drama. So sources are saying, this is coming from Page Six, that their volatile relationship allegedly contributed to the cancellation of her Las Vegas residency. After she dramatically canceled her dates at Caesar's Palace, causing an outcry from fans, the singer went straight to the NBA manager's Beverly Hills home and has remained there ever since. Insiders say the pair have been trying to fix things, and Paul is helping her renegotiate her contract with the Vegas casino owners. A source also said she and Rich had been fighting and their relationship was volatile before she canceled her dates. Apparently, like, while she was rehearsing, she was shouting and sobbing over the phone. A source said Adele's been crying and couldn't get through a single full rehearsal for the past month. Just constantly on the phone with Rich, loudly shouting and sobbing.
And also, it was reported, I don't know if we even spoke about this, that Keith Urban is replacing her, which personally I'm thrilled about. Like, I will be going.
Yeah, no, that sounds really fun, but that makes it even more permanent. I was still holding out hope, like, okay, weekend with Adele, it won't be this weekend, it'll be next weekend, but no, it's over.
No.
And I think this is really, like, a stain on her otherwise impeccably
perfect,
pristine career. And to know that it's, like, perhaps about relationship drama is really surprising, considering everything we've been hearing from her in the last few months is like, this is the season of her life. Like, this is the relationship, you know, that's helping her be exactly who she is. And she's so happy. And you just don't, like, shout and sob on the phone during work all the time when you're so happy in your relationship.
So, I mean, when we recapped it, we did say there's definitely much more going on. And obviously we were right. I don't know if this is 100% the truth, but Adele did then, like, post on Instagram yesterday. Her caption was, "Hi, I'm really happy to say that I'm performing at the Brits next week. And also I'll be popping in to see Graham for a chat on the couch while I'm in town also. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, and Rich sends his love. Heart." So almost like a very subtle way of acknowledging some of the rumors and maybe perhaps trying to dispel them. I don't know if I believe this Page Six thing wholeheartedly. I do think Adele is going through some stuff, and there's like, it wasn't about COVID. It wasn't, and we just live in a world where, like, you can literally get away with anything by blaming shit on COVID. It's like kind of nice. Everyone has, like, a perfect excuse. But I don't know if I believe the extent of this Page Six article, but there's somewhere in the middle of what's actually going on.
Yeah, I agree. Perhaps it's like she was calling him on the phone, shouting and sobbing, like, about the show, not necessarily about things between them. Though a second Vegas source industry insider said that there was chatter about why he wasn't in Vegas to support Adele, even like the day before the show was supposed to launch. But he's a busy man. So again, like, everything kind of seems like there could be an explanation or this could be the truth. I think there's probably something amiss here in general. But I also think, you know, the tabloids like to do what they do.
And, like, for me personally, I would have loved to have seen Adele, but, like, I just wasn't going to pay the premium that the tickets were at. And now, just knowing it's Keith Urban and I can most likely, like, afford a really good seat, that makes me feel really good. And I'm personally grateful to Rich, to Adele, and to Keith.
Are you really going to go?
Why not? Okay. I fucking love Keith Urban.
Okay, pack your
bags. And by the way, right before the pandemic, right before the pandemic, you and I were planning a trip to Vegas to see Kelly Clarkson, and we were also working on getting tickets to Keith Urban's residency, which both of which we never got to see. So now, like, I'm just making up for lost time, and I love Keith Urban. Like, I definitely would go and support.
I mean, thinking about the weekend we had planned to see Kelly Clarkson in Las Vegas, that was just going to be, like, the peak of my life. Like, my favorite person in my favorite city. And mm-hmm. that was all just, like, ripped out from under us. Like, I'm angry about that.
It's a pipe. It was a pipe dream. Like, it was, we were never going, like, we were also going to go to the ACM Awards. Like, mm-hmm. that weekend, like, when you think of all the things that COVID took from us all personally, like, that is at the top of the list.
I don't think about it enough, but now that I'm thinking about that particular weekend, especially the ACMs, and actually I was just looking at my time hop, and I was, 2 years ago, I was trying on, like, dresses in my apartment for the ACMs, and actually the dress mm-hmm. I was, the dress I bought for it, I wore to a wedding this summer, the blue dress, everyone knows, I remember. So extra. And it was mm-hmm. just, like, there was so much hope, so much promise.
And what's, like, so traumatizing about that weekend as well, obviously, I just want to say, like, obviously, worse things happened because of COVID. Like, we're just being dramatic. But the worst for me was I was the one who put all the Kelly Clarkson tickets on my credit card. And do you know it took me over a year to get refunded? Literally over a year.
Because I bought the tickets for everyone.
And then everyone was supposed to pay. Refunded from Ticketmaster.
Oh. Okay. But did you
Asked everyone to pay me for the tickets yet.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's confusing.
Because, like, we were still planning the weekend. I was going to, like, add up all the, you know, I love to do that. Get the points, put everything on my credit card, and then send everyone a Venmo request. Like, the hotels, the flights, like, I do everything. So I put 8 Kelly Clarkson, like, front row tickets on my credit card. Literally never got the money back until a year later. Because they kept postponing the show. Like, mm-hmm. you would hold on to your ticket, and, like, when they figured it out. But then, like, a year later, they're like, all right, the show's never happening. Like, let's give everyone their money back.
Yeah, exactly. Damn. And that's hard to think about. That's hard to swallow. But we're going to pivot to our next story because it's some exciting news, I think. Mickey Guyton has been announced as the Super Bowl 2022 National Anthem singer. Grammy-nominated singer Mickey Guyton will perform the national anthem at the 2022 Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium. She said, "Look at God. I am shook. I am grateful. I am praise dancing. So excited to be singing the national anthem at SBLVI on February 13th. That is, I'm
Mickey
always...
Guyton, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, for those who don't know, she's an incredibly talented up-and-coming country artist. And, like, you're going to be quaking. Her voice is really special. Like, she, the thing is with the Super Bowl national anthem, like, they can't just choose anyone, because there's a lot of people out here in Hollywood, like, who have record deals and are very famous, who can't carry a tune if their life depended on it. So not everyone can do it. The Star Spangled Banner is also an extremely difficult song to sing in terms of range. Not, you know, any human being could just do it. You know, I can, obviously, but I think this is a great choice.
I think it's a great choice. I'm always so interested to see who's going to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. It's so prestigious. And it's like this, you know, singing that song at that venue live, it separates the boys from the men, you know, and you get to see a person's Agreed. True talent. And I think that most of the time they really go with people who are truly talented because it will expose you. It could ruin your career, Fergie.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And Fergie was at the All-Star Game, which is like a big stage, but it's not nearly as big as the Super Bowl national anthem.
Yeah. And if the national anthem at the Super Bowl, like, doesn't give me goosebumps or make me cry, I'm sorry, it's a failure.
I completely agree. And Mickey Guyton, I think, will do, like, a really, really good job. I suggest people, like, learn about her music. Her song Black Like Me is literally so good. So, like, indulge, stream before... But I have the utmost faith in her. What's your favorite Super Bowl national anthem performance? Like, what's the one you go back and watch on YouTube that, like, gives you chills?
Oh, I don't. I mean, we did this a while ago where we watched them all. I mean, obviously, Whitney Houston's is the most iconic, and, like, that's not even fair to say. But I'm trying to think of, like, of ones I watched live recently and, like, how they made me feel. I mean, when we went to the Super Bowl, Pink sang the national mm-hmm. anthem, and I was, like, bawling, but I was also kind of hungover, kind of, extremely. So just feeling, like, really emotional. Mm-hmm. And that just really stuck with me.
Okay, do you want me to read you who has done it in recent years?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So in 1967, no, I'm kidding.
I was like, no, in we don't have time. I have a doctor's appointment.
In 2021 was Eric Church and Jasmine Sullivan. Remember, he played the guitar and she sang.
Okay, not memorable. Sorry.
2020, Demi Lovato. She can carry a tune, honestly. Like,
yeah, she can, but again, I don't remember it.
2019 was Gladys Knight.
Oh, I remember that. That was good.
2018 was Pink. That's when we were there. Luke Bryan was 2017, which I don't remember. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Gaga, 16. Idina Menzel, 2015.
You know what? I kind of loved...
Kelly Clarkson did it in 2012.
Oh, my God. I've got to go back and watch. I really loved Gaga's, actually, because she was kind of, like, off the charts. In a, like...
Nuts.
Not in a musical way. Like, in a emotional way.
Headspace.
Like, she was just, like, giving... Mm-hmm. Everything, like, so much. It was so extra. She put her own flair on it, but I think that she pulled it off. I really enjoyed that one.
She also played the piano while she did it, which is just, like, incredibly impressive, like, on the world's biggest stage.
Yeah, that was a very, very good one. And then that set her up beautifully to do the halftime show the following year.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. So much entertainment. Obviously, we have the Bengals and the Rams. And then we have this halftime show that's really like a mini music festival. This halftime show has like a trailer for it. They're really putting a lot into the entertainment for the Super Bowl. So I will hopefully will be entertained.
Yeah, and I've recently become like a huge Mary J. Blige fan because of her song Doubt that literally changed my life. And yesterday I actually watched her Amazon original documentary. It was very good. Like, first of all, I had no idea how she like came up. It's her story. It's crazy. She recorded. There used to be these like booths at the mall. She grew up in Yonkers. So there used to be these booths at the mall where you could go in and like record yourself singing and they'll give you a cassette. And she did that. And like it just the cassette got passed around to a few people. And the next thing you know, like this guy from... a record label like shows up at her apartment. It was a crazy story and the documentary was really good.
Oh, cool. When is the documentary from? Is it recent?
I mean, I hadn't even heard that it had come out. I was just looking for something to watch while dinner was being made last night and I stumbled upon it. It's relatively recent because she looks like she looks now. Mm-hmm. It was celebrating the 25th anniversary of her album My Life, which I think is the album that like really changed her life.
Very, very cool.
It'll be good.
That will be good. Okay, are you ready for our next story?
By the way.
What?
I can't even watch a Super Bowl because I have a show. Tickets available at girlwithnojob.com/tour. So thank you to everyone in Boston who bought tickets to the second show who actually doesn't give a shit about the Super Bowl. You're a real one.
Yeah, that's really funny. Our next story I'm so obsessed with. I can't. Like, it's the most exciting news I've ever heard.
What is it?
There is a new dating show coming to NBC that is The Bachelor meets Downton Abbey. It is called The Courtship, and it's coming in March. So listen to this. The Courtship, which was formerly titled Pride and Prejudice, an Experiment in Romance, announced their March 6th premiere date. As viewers first learned last July, the show centers around a woman who is, quote, looking for her duke and will subsequently embark on the ultimate social experiment in romance to do so. Taking a page out of Bridgerton, The Courtship will follow a group of eligible hopeful suitors. They'll be transported to a Regency-style England home as they compete to win the heart of the heroine and her court. Peacock said, housed in a castle on the countryside, set on a beautiful backdrop of rolling hills, the heroine and suitors will experience that with which dreams are made. They will be immersed in a time-traveling quest for love as they participate in activities including carriage rides, boat rides, archery, and crafting handwritten letters for communication. At the end of the competition, the leading lady and her contenders will discover if this experience will bring them true love.
It's giving medieval times. I like it. It's like cosplaying, right?
Yeah, it's The Bachelor, but like set really at Downton Abbey, and they have to like go through all of the old forms of courtship. I think this is such a cute idea.
You know what? It sounded weird, but now that I think about it, I do think actually you could have success dating wise on this show, because like, you know, with all social media and all like the toxic things we have, it makes it really hard to date in this day and age. So kind of to pull that all away and go back to basics, like sending a message or a carrier pigeon, like, I don't know, I could see it.
And also like on The Bachelor, the dates, whether they're going like ATVing or jumping off of a building, like they're extremely distracting. Whereas I think like these dates, carriage rides, you know, maybe some pheasant shooting, it really
picnics,
it they will facilitate, I think, a deeper bond. And even if none of that is true and this woman, like, doesn't really find love, I think it will be highly entertaining just to see people in the clothes and at the houses and just doing these things. Honestly, I feel like this was made for me. I feel really seen right now.
Target demographic has been reached.
Yeah. So I wonder if the Snatchler will be watching this. I mean, she would love it too, but...
Is it going to be on cable or on Peacock?
I guess Peacock, which works for me. I'm into Peacock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't currently pay for Peacock. I literally, like, purchase it when I need it, and then I cancel it immediately because, like, I don't consistently watch stuff on there. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm not good about that. I leave all of my subscriptions running, you know, but I also am very... You know, I don't just subscribe to everything. So if I'm going to, it needs to be something worthwhile. But then I'm committed. I'm not fickle.
Yeah, like I purchased Peacock with Ultimate Girls Trip. And then the second I finished it, I canceled the subscription. And I haven't needed it since. So I'm glad. I just saved myself like $15.
Until the courtship premieres. I just do hope that it's very high budget and like the wardrobe and the sets, like that it's not, it doesn't feel, you know, community theater, medieval times. Like I really hope that it feels like, you know, Julian Fellowes is there behind the screen trying to facilitate love.
Right. Hopefully it doesn't feel like they're just LARPing around England.
Yeah. No, that would be extremely distressing to see. It would be like, yeah, so, like concerning. And weird.
When does the second season of Love is Blind come out? Like, I feel like the first season was actually 5 years ago.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
That's, like, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Are you ready for our fifth and final story, though?
Already?
Already.
Is it the fifth and final story that's brought to you by Legacy Box?
It is.
Legacy Box is the easiest and safest way to reclaim all of the priceless footage you haven't seen in years. Send in your Legacy Box, filled it with aging VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, any home videos you have. Like, personally, we grew up in the VHS era, and, like, years ago when we were trying to, like, watch them, we couldn't figure out how, and Legacy Box truly came in, saved the day. It's the nicest thing you can do for your family or your, like, grandma. Like, to revisit those memories is so special, and Legacy Box, like, could not make it easier. They do it so professionally. They keep you updated the entire process, and their team will professionally digitize everything by hand at their 110,000 square foot production campus in the USA, and you get everything back on a thumb drive, a DVD, or the cloud. I remember we did the thumb drive, whatever's easiest for you. And there's just really no reason not to do it. It's a great thing to do for someone as a gift. If you don't want to send it in now, use our code, get the Legacy Box, and then send it in when you're ready. They can digitize up to 19 different types of consumer media from a VHS, which is what we did, to Super 8 film. So they can do everything. Visit LegacyBox.com/toast to save 40% off for a limited time. Order today, claim the exclusive offer for our listeners, and then send it in when you're ready if you're not ready yet. But just make sure to get the 40% off at LegacyBox.com/toast to unlock 40% off today. That's LegacyBox.com/toast. It's really like such a sweet, beautiful thing.
It really is. It's one of my favorite sponsors. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And it's also just something that,
and it's a sponsor
that, like,
I get the most messages about. Like, what was the Legacy Box code?
Oh, for sure. But it's also something that, aside from a gift, just something that you should do and have, because it's like, otherwise that stuff is like, oh shit, I have to go get all my VHSs out of the hard drive.
Yeah.
It weighs on you. So unburden your memories with Legacy Box.
They should use that.
Our fifth and final story is a little human interest weather news, because it's Groundhog's Day, and the groundhog has seen his shadow, and he has predicted 6 more weeks of winter. He always fucking predicts 6 more weeks of winter.
Totally. And, like, I don't think anyone can really think about Groundhog's Day without thinking about the, and I just think it's worth mentioning, you know, the groundhogs we lost, that were murdered by our former mayor, Bill de Blasio. I just think perhaps we should have a moment of silence for them.
Agreed.
I'm glad to see that this groundhog made it out alive, and he's just spreading lies and propaganda. And
yeah, and misinformation.
It is what
big
it is.
Time.
Big misinformation. Like, I don't claim Groundhog's Day whatsoever. Also, I know it happens in New York, but like, is it for the whole country? Like, I don't really get how Groundhog's Day works. And I feel like I'm having a Groundhog's Day moment because we talk about this every year.
No, I don't think we've ever really talked about Groundhog's Day. And I feel like I've never, and if it wasn't for just like trolling the Daily Mail today, I wouldn't have even seen that, you know, Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow. And then I also can never remember, like, okay, if he saw it, does that mean 6 more weeks? Does that mean less weeks?
Right.
But it's also never good news from the groundhog. He's eternal pessimist.
No, and also, if he sees his shadow, doesn't that mean it's sunny outside, therefore less winter?
See, I don't know. I don't know. The whole thing, I wonder,
and
I wonder how far into, like, you know, the future we have to get before we're like, this is trash. This is a bad idea.
Before we're done with this moronic tradition, literally.
Yeah. It goes back to 1887, though. So that's kind of sweet that, you know, we've been carrying the torch since 1887 and that the groundhogs, because otherwise, you know, the groundhogs would get no play, except for if you're watching Caddyshack. So I think,
okay, but wait,
for groundhog also, appreciation and awareness, it's nice.
So they've been doing it since 1887, and the groundhog since 1887 has been called Punxsutawney Phil. So they just keep replacing the groundhog and giving it the same name, is what you're saying, which is hella disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. And a little fun fact is Punxsutawney Phil has predicted winter 105 times and did not see his shadow and predicted shorter winter only 20 times. Eternal pessimist, this Phil.
I mean, I'm sorry, that literally makes no sense. I didn't see my shadow. Like, who came up with this moronic idea?
I don't know. I don't know.
And furthermore, I don't even want to know what happens to the groundhogs the other 364 days a year. Like, New York is the most mismanaged, disgusting, like, city. And, like, I just know that those groundhogs are not being taken care of. Like, I don't think they have, you know, stunning facilities with round-the-clock care. And it makes me sad to think that they are, like, you know, born into captivity for our pleasure for this dumb-ass tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. But it's really weird.
I said what I said.
When you think about it long and hard, like, it's just so weird.
Bizarre. Agreed.
Bizarre. But it's, you know, tradition, and it ties us throughout the last 125 years, so.
40.
40?
1887, it's 2021.
188, yeah, yeah, I think somewhere in between us. Oh, Jesus, okay.
Oh, am I better at math than
I don't know. Hold on. I'm getting my calculator.
Calculator.
It's 2022.
It's actually 2022.
135.
135, bitch. And I said 40. I'm literally a genius.
Well, I have pregnancy brain, so I'm off the hook.
Fair. Fair,
my brain
fair, fair.
Really actually.
Honestly, I think the more shocking part is that I got it right, not that you got it wrong, you know?
Yeah, no, I've never claimed math to be my strong suit. And there have been moments, but I don't know if it's pregnancy brain, but I guess just because pregnancy just makes you really exhausted, where like my brain really feels so scrambled. I even feel like when I'm reaching for words on this show, I'm just not finding the words that I'm looking for. And maybe that is the pregnancy
brain. I feel that.
Brain. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay, well, so we have Dear Toasters and TV recap. What should we do first?
I think Dear Toasters, so that everyone can listen, because I don't know if everyone watched Real Housewives.
You're such a genius. Okay, ready? Dear Toasters. And by the way, we have one update today. 2 submissions and 1 update.
Woo!
Hello, Jackie, Claudia, and crew. Let's get right into this one. A little backstory. I have a very close-knit family, 3 older sisters who I've always looked up to and admired. And, also relevant, I've been married to my husband for 2 years, but we've been together for 10. He is a pijam, and I've only ever gotten the impression that my family loves him. So I was snooping through my mom's phone for reasons unrelated to this story. I know I shouldn't have been. I deeply regret it. And I found a text from my oldest sister from when my mom tested positive for COVID. My mom said, I think Sam, my husband, is most worried about getting it since he is the only one in the family who hasn't. And by the way, he's worried about getting it because I'm 35 weeks pregnant and he's terrified he will miss the birth of our first child. My sister responded, you should spit in his drink. He deserves it. Oh! Honestly, I'm at a loss for words. Not only am I shocked that my sister has some sort of ill will for my husband, but that's a horrible thing to say. Like, truly, what the fuck? Who says something like that? Can you imagine if one of your sisters said that about your husband? I'm heartbroken. Part of me wants to keep quiet about it because if my husband found out, he would be devastated. But the other part is of me is fuming and hurt and wants to tell her to fuck off. It's such a vile thing to say. I can never imagine saying that about someone, even if I hated them. I honestly don't know if confronting her will bring any resolution. I can't see her owning up to saying, yeah, I don't like him because of X, Y, and Z. I more so see her brushing it off and saying she was joking. My family is more so the type to sweep things under the rug. I want to ask my mom about it, but I don't know if I've lost the right to do so since I was snooping. What would you do? Sincerely, a sad and angry toaster. Before you give advice, because I truly have nothing to say here, this is the most horrible thing I've ever read in my life. I do think the main takeaway and lesson for everyone listening should be, like, you really... especially to your mom. Like, that is so not, I don't want to shame you because I know you're like in a pickle right now, but to snoop through anyone's phone is like a huge invasion of privacy. To snoop through your mother's phone is such a high level of disrespect. Like, and I'm sorry that you found out something that hurt you, but like, that's what you get for invading your mother's privacy. That's all I'll say.
This is why we stand anti-snoop here at the Morning Toast, because you find things out that you don't want to know, that you aren't meant to know. And this is one of those things. And it's clear that you've taken away this lesson, and I'm sure it won't happen again. But let this be a caution to all. This is why we don't snoop unless we have cause to, unless it's like, you know, you think your man is really out there cheating and like you have real evidentiary support. And aside from that, you don't just snoop for snooping's sake, because then you will find something that's going to hurt your feelings. And here you go. This is it.
Yep.
Now, what to do? We're at this crossroads. If the snooping has been done and you know this harmful information, I don't know how you could just like not do anything about it. I don't think you need to say anything to your mom.
Your mom didn't say anything. Your sister did.
Right. Exactly. So, like, this is between you and your sister. And you could wait until, like, she gives you a vibe that she doesn't like your husband. So maybe she's been giving you this vibe and right. You just never picked up on it. But you could keep your eye out for it and then confront her when you have, you know, evidence that you didn't get illegally, that you can say, why are you talking like this? You know, do you not like my husband?
Right. If this is how she truly feels, there will be another opportunity where she makes a snide remark and maybe you were oblivious to it then, but now you are not. And your opportunity will come. I don't think you're going to fix it. Also, you're 35 weeks pregnant. I would focus on other things. Like, if your husband is like truly a pijam, then you guys have nothing to worry about. Enjoy the rest of your pregnancy. This will like give you stress, and stress is not good for a baby. You will figure this out later. Truly.
Yeah, I would table it for now. Even though that's really fucking shitty.
No, like, if I read something like you were, like, talking, like, I'm going to spit in Ben's drink, I would be, like, shook.
Yeah. No, that would be so, that would be so weird.
It's also agreed, like, a baseline, like, a crazy way to phrase something about someone you don't like. Let's poison them with COVID. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how you can ask it without showing, even though, like, okay, so you snooped, it's not a big deal, like, you could say, like, I was doing something on mom's phone and I saw this text. Like, what does it mean? But I don't know. At 35 weeks pregnant, I would just wait for the next opportunity and just focus on your immediate home.
Agreed. 100%. Okay, here's the next one. Hello, Jackson Claude. Thanks for keeping me laughing all quarantine. I couldn't have gotten through without my daily dose of toast. Thanks, girl. I'm writing in with quite the predicament. Over the weekend, I had some friends over and their husbands, and we were all just casually drinking, hanging out. My husband is out of town for work all month. Long story short, after everyone had passed out on my couch and went home, including my best friend Sally, her husband started getting super flirty and holding my hand and cuddling me. Oh my God. Note, it's not uncommon for Sally's husband to stay out after she goes home since she's a grandma and goes to bed at 8 o'clock, LOL. I kept telling him I didn't want to cross this line and avoided eye contact with him, where he'd try to make a move. He kept telling me how he wishes he'd see me more and how we have a mutual attraction to each other, which, yeah, he's cute, but I would never act on it. Is it ironic that me and Sally look eerily similar? But that's besides the point. Nothing happened. I've had the biggest pit for days now. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I have elevated blood pressure. I feel this guilt, which I'm not positive why, because nothing happened. Do I tell my husband and then cause this awkward tension in the friend group and risk him potentially confronting Sally's husband? Do I tell Sally? Do I just let the pit pass and take this to my grave? We're moving away in a few months, so my plan is just to avoid him as best as I can, but any other advice you have is greatly appreciated. I view Sally as a lifelong friend, and I'm just worried about losing her. Ooh, this is so tough. It depends what kind of girl Sally is. Is she the type of girl who would receive this information in a positive way and be like, wow, thank you so much for telling me my husband's an enormous piece of shit. I had no idea. Or is she going to be defensive and be like, well, your shirt was like really low cut and like maybe that's why. you know?
No, she would just be like, no, he didn't. Like, you're reading it wrong. Like, it's not about you. Don't flatter yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. We got to get a read on what type of gal Sally is. What type of galley?
But definitely tell your husband, because I wouldn't want you to be like, to get, first of all, unburdening yourself to your husband. It's just clearly weighing on you. Like, this is a big dynamic in your friend group. And that's something that, like, you shouldn't have to deal with by yourself. So share it with him. And also, that way, if something does, like, happen later on, like, he has been kept abreast all along. And you guys are teammates. You're on the same side. Like, he should know all the information. Yeah. Don't tell him to do anything or, you know, like, nothing happened, whatever. But just, like, let him know that's how you're feeling. And then on the Sally front, it's, yeah, you have to know Sally. Take her temperature and see if you think that, like, this would be information that she would even know what to do with, or she would just use it to push you away.
Yeah. It's the secret part, though, that makes it seem like you have a pit, I think, because you're keeping it a secret, like, as if you did something wrong, which you didn't. But keeping something in, like, just makes you feel icky. So I agree with Jackie. Like, definitely tell your husband, like, 100%. And then use your judgment. Trust your gut on what you think to do with Sally, because we don't know Sally. And there are just girls out there who don't want to know, and there are girls out there who do. And which type of girl is Sally? Is she like other girls, or is she not like other girls? That's up to you to decide.
Yeah. Yeah. And
hopefully that was helpful.
Yeah, I think it was. I think for the first half, definitely tell your husband. Maybe he knows Sally better than help. You do. Maybe he has a POV that could be helpful here.
Why don't you play him this episode and then let him know what he thinks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, our third and final one is an update from someone who wrote in really recently.
Okay.
So, Jackie and Claudia, as a toaster of my word, I am back with an update. You read my submission to Dear Toasters on January 25th for a refresher. Literally, like last week.
Okay.
I'm the girl whose boyfriend was sexting other women and sending dick pics to his gay friends and then trying to convince me it was normal. Remember?
Yes.
Ladies, when Claudia started reading my Dear Toaster submission, I was elbows deep cleaning this guy's dirty dishes at his apartment. I'm a sucker for a charmer, I guess. Because I just decided to just let it go, because he was going to turn over a new leaf. But listening to you guys read my email and hearing your responses was the validation I needed to let myself feel how I was truly feeling about the situation instead of being blinded by his presentation of it. Thank you guys for helping me to be honest with myself about the situation. While I'm sad to have let the relationship go, it feels good to stand up for myself and value myself. A grateful toaster. Thank you. Oh, that's tough to hear. I mean, but sometimes you really do need to hear the perspective of someone who has absolutely no horse in the race to kind of jolt you, because you'll convince yourself of anything when you really want to make something work. So I'm glad we could be there for you. I'm really sorry that it didn't work out, but you will be so grateful in the long run, like 100%.
And I also think that even just hearing what you wrote, but us reading it, just if you, it might like stop you in your tracks, and you're able to like hear your own story in your own words, but like from a little bit of a further perch, and just being able to see it in that light is probably really helpful. I wish you luck. Obviously, this is a fresh breakup. So I do wish you luck in this journey, and you know, it'll get harder before it gets easier, but please keep us posted on what comes next for you. I have enormous respect for you. It's very hard to make changes like this in your life, and I wish you all the best.
And you know what? You probably did this man a favor too, because it seems like he has a lot to figure out about, you know, what's going on in his life, perhaps his sexuality, and you've now given him the space to do that. So it feels like we all won here, even though everyone in the probably feels like terrible. In the end, you're all winners.
Yes, and you no longer have to do his dirty dishes.
Right. Okay, let's talk about The Real Housewives of New Jersey premiere last night, which was very good and is brought to you by, give me a moment, Single Drunk Female. Samantha Fink is a person in progress, and being a person is super hard. Single Drunk Female is the new Freeform original series now streaming on Hulu. It's from the executive producer of Girls and the executive producer of Russian Doll. Samantha used to get drunk all the time, but now she's getting clean and it's going to get real messy. Fresh out of rehab, Samantha's forced to move back home, live with her mom, who she affectionately calls Smother. She's working at her local grocery store, taking naps in the cereal aisle, and going to meetings. Sam's taking sobriety one day at a time, but those days, they just keep on coming. With her former drinking buddy and newly found friends of the program by her side, Sam is trying to make the most of her second chance. A chance to start over, a chance to be a slightly better person, a chance at love. Because when you start at rock bottom, the only place to go is up. Check out the new dramedy that is sure to make you laugh, even if sometimes it's just to keep from crying. Freeform's Single Drunk Female, also streaming on Hulu right now. Freeform's Single Drunk Female. All right, the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Great to see the gang back together. We've got a new gal, Tracy Johnson, who's married to Tiki Barber, who Joe Gorga has, like, the biggest crush on. It was great. I agree with you. It was great to see the ladies. For me personally, I mean, most of the drama is, like, still continued from last season. Nothing, like, crazy happened. Except for the video. But for me, like, the big shocker of the episode, like, something I actually could not get past, was Jennifer going to Turkey to get her nose done when her husband is literally a plastic surgeon. Like, I don't understand.
I don't understand. I mean, I understand that Bill, like, doesn't want to work on her again. But, you know, if you're going to do your nose, which is such a big, like, part of your physical presence, your face, like, it's just crazy. Or maybe if he doesn't want to work with her, like, someone else in his practice or a buddy of his. But to, like, have a plastic surgeon for her husband and to go on Instagram to find your next plastic surgeon was incredibly surprising. I felt bizarre. The same way. Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, it's so weird. I had no idea there's all this stuff with Jennifer and Bill. Obviously, to skip to the end, like, Margaret drops a bomb that Bill had an affair.
Well, if you remember at the last reunion, they were, like, alluding to a lot of weirdness about Bill. They never outright said, like, what it was, but just, like, skeletons, etc. So I guess Margaret is bringing that same energy into this season. And you know what? I actually really like Margaret for doing that, because that happens a lot on Housewives. It reminds me of Gisele Bryant. Like, there's always people who are so in other people's business and always, like, you know, bringing up shit that happens off camera, shit from people's past. But then when it comes to them, it's like, oh no, you can't talk about me. And Jennifer gives, like, that Gisele Bryant energy, and it's not fair. So you know what? Everyone really does have skeletons. And if Jennifer can go on and on saying horrible things about Margaret's mother, you know what? Margaret can say whatever the fuck she wants about Jennifer's husband. Sorry.
Did you watch What Happens Live last night?
I did. I was actually extremely surprised by a lot of things.
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I experienced one of the most moronic moments on television when they asked the question, yes, like, did Margaret go below the belt by bringing up Jennifer's and Bill's affair? And Teresa was like, yes, of course she did. And Andy obviously was like, but you did the same thing to Jackie. And she was like, no, but that was a rumor. This is facts. That's worse. No, so, like, spreading something that's not, like, true about someone is better than sharing the truth. Like, I can't.
No, I was extremely grateful for Andy for being on top of that, because I had totally even forgotten about that. But, you know, Teresa's just so transparent, because if it was the other way around, she would have said, you know, Jennifer didn't go below the belt. She's just so transparent. She has no ethics. She has no backbone. She just supports people blindly. She doesn't have, like, principles that she upholds. Like, it's so stupid. So I thought Margaret was 100% justified. I did feel like the girls were being, like, a little mean about her nose, which obviously her nose does not look good. But she was in a cast, like, in the previous scene. It's obviously still swollen. Like, so I'm sure it was shocking for her to, like, come out with a new nose, like, not looking so great. But I did think they were being, like, a little mean.
I agree that they were. And even just, like, the energy, you hate to see, like, people ganging up on one person. And whenever that happens, it just always makes me, you know, feel sympathetic towards the one person. But I think for Margaret, Melissa, and Jackie, like, these are very rational women, and they have put up with a lot over the past few years. And I think they're just, like, making this decision to, like, freeze Jennifer out. Like, we don't want this person on our show anymore. Like, she says the most atrocious things about us. So I'm still trying to, like, come from that place when I see them. Like, and it's not even, I mean, aside from the nose comment, it's not even like they're being, like, actively mean towards her. It's just like, we are going to pretend like you're not here because we don't want you to be here, which at this point, after all that's been said, I do understand.
And it must be frustrating to film with someone who, like, you'll have, you know, you'll come to an agreement with someone, you'll apologize, you'll hug, and then it's like the person walks away and it's like it never happened. It's actually just frustrating, and it's like you feel like you're going crazy. Like, Jennifer's always apologizing and then nothing changes. She goes back, doubles down on what she did and what she said. So I understand, of course, them not wanting to be friends with her. And honestly, after last season, I was so done with her. But I just did feel like a little, I'm a human, you know? I felt bad her walking in, everyone ignoring her, and then making fun of her nose behind her back.
Yeah, I agree. I and it feels like perhaps maybe when she starts opening up about what's actually going on in her life, like, that could be the conduit for a different kind of relationship with the ladies. And until she does that, you know, they're just like, you're phony and you're mean and you're lying and we don't have time for you. But, like, it seems like Jackie this season has a bit of a soft spot for her, considering, like, what she's going to go through with Bill. And I do think that does bring people together. But when you're, like, lying about your life and also, like, just projecting onto other people and starting, like, rumors about them and trying to come between friends, yeah, there's no space for friendship here. But I think if she humbles herself, which it seems like she's going to this season, maybe there's a path
she has to
friendship. Yeah.
Yeah, so the bombshell was obviously that Bill Aiden had an affair at his previous practice with a pharmaceutical rep, which I just found to be shocking just because I just don't see that from Bill and I've been, like, a Bill stan. And so I'm looking forward to diving into that deeper. But obviously the whole episode was centered around this video of Louis. I remember when it went viral, but then when they were referring to it on the episode, I couldn't remember for the life of me what the video was. And I just wish that they showed it. Like, I know it was probably, like, a copyright thing or whatever. I could not, it was just, like, frustrating. And it was such a weird video. When I rewatched it on, like, I found it on Twitter, I was cringing. But it's definitely bizarre and requires, you know, some explanation. But I don't really feel like, he's not, you know, committing a crime. He doesn't really owe anyone an explanation except Teresa.
Yeah.
But Teresa's always in other people's shit, so.
The reaction from the whole group, I never saw this video. I didn't even know what were talking about. Yeah, I feel like anytime there's a headline about, like, Louis passed, I don't click it. Like, I don't really care. So yeah. I never.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, so you sent me the video last night because I was like, what fucking video? And I can't have an opinion on this until I've seen the video. And yeah,
yes.
It's bizarre. Bob from The Biggest Loser was on Watch What Happens Live last night. And not only would Andy, like, cut him off at every single turn. Did you realize that anytime he was, like, sharing his opinion, Andy was, like, just shutting him down?
Okay, I did realize that, and I saw a bunch of people being like, wow, Andy hates Bob. Okay. But Bob has been on Watch What Happens Live so frequently that he should really know better how it works. He was being so long-winded, talking over Teresa when it, like, wasn't his turn. And Andy has, like, a tight ship to run. It's a really quick show. Like, and Bob should know better. Like, Andy does cut a lot of people off a lot, but it's only because that's how the show, like, runs. And if it's their first time on, like, maybe they don't know. Bob should know better. Bob was actually being annoying. Like, sorry. Bob was being, like, chatty.
Okay, I actually didn't think he was being long-winded. I thought he was talking quickly and with purpose, and he was saying stuff, and Andy was cutting him off. But I'm sure they're fine. It's just, like, when he has Teresa on, it's like, okay, Bob, we don't really want to hear from you. But then
you're,
have someone,
like,
else
you're
on.
Like, you're literally an extra at this point.
Right. But he did say something interesting that made me think about the video in a different perspective. Because, of course, when I
Agreed.
First saw it, I was like, what is this, like, culty vibes? But apparently, like, there are these camps, like, these man camps where these men go and, like,
retreats.
It's more like a spiritual, yeah, camp. It's a spiritual retreat. It's like Camp Toast. And they really, like, unburden themselves. They get really into it and just let their emotions, feelings out. And I think if you're someone who has done something like that, I've never even heard of something like this, but, like, he was trying to, like, improve him, better himself. And so I think seeing that clip out of context, like, is weird and bizarre. But if you, like, understood the whole process, maybe it would give you a better sense of what he was trying to do there. But because he won't address the clip, like, we would never know that. So if it wasn't for Bob Harper, I would just be like, why is he with his friends on the beach? But those people probably weren't his friends. He's probably doing some, like, spiritual
retreat. He probably just met them.
Yeah, and this is, like, part of it. So I'm trying not to judge, really, but I do think he should have had a better reaction on the show and just, like, explained it to people. Not that he owes anyone an explanation, sure, but just it could have been a nothing burger, and now it's going to be, like, this big burger. Like, who's going to bring it up to Teresa when it doesn't really need to be like that? Plus, Teresa, for her part, like, has, you know, a checkered past, and I don't think that she's judging anyone based on what they've done in the past. And in the grand scheme of things, making, like, a weird emotional video, like, isn't
that big of a deal.
Yeah.
No, I literally said, like, last night when we were watching, I'm like, literally, Teresa's been to prison. I don't think she's in any position to judge anyone, especially when, like, it's not like he's doing a human sacrifice in the video. It's just, like, kind of cringy. I agree. Bob Harper cleared it up for me in such a quick and swift way. But I do think him and Teresa are just handling this really poorly, like, thinking, like, they're trying so hard to minimize it that it's only making it bigger. Like, just address it and move on. Like, we could literally, the more you act like it doesn't exist, in the words of Erica Jane, the bigger shit gets.
Yeah, and also it seems like this season Teresa's kind of taking this path of like, I want to keep my relationship on the down low, like I don't need to share everything with the cameras. But Teresa Giudice has made a deal with the devil of reality television, and she, this whole show centers around her. She has given everything to the show. The show has given everything to her, and I don't think she can just back out now and be like, I want my privacy, you know? Specifically,
100%. And her. Don't worry, other no people, one's giving it to her. No one's giving it to her.
Other people on other franchises, you know, if Kathy Hilton says, I'm not showing this part of my life, they're not showing that part of her life. But Teresa is Real Housewives of New Jersey. This Bravo machine has, you know, supported her life and her family for 10 years. Like, there's really no getting out of it now. And I don't think that, you know, I don't think this will hold water.
No, me neither. I did think it was very cool to see Gia Giudice finally bartending on Watch What Happens Live. I guess I didn't realize she hasn't been 21 this whole time. And it was cute. They threw her like a little birthday party. It was actually a good episode of Watch What Happens Live and a pretty good premiere.
Yeah, it was a good premiere. I like the new housewife so far, even though we didn't really get to know her, but it seems like she has a good energy about her. And that's
Yeah, she just seems like exciting. Smart.
Yeah, exactly. And just like, yeah. Like easy to get along with.
I do think, like, she has a major drama in... Oh, also, I thought her background was super interesting, how, like, they met at the Today Show. She gave the timeline. I do think it was weird he left his wife when she was 8 weeks pregnant, but, like, she gave the timeline and then the headlines, like, leaves for an intern when she was, like, not an intern. I thought that was interesting. I actually would like to know more about that whole moment for them.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
But she does have... I think there's, like, something goes down with her and Tiki... I'm not 100% sure, but, like, she's at the center of some drama at some point.
Oh, interesting. I think. And then the other point of drama was, like, between the Gorgas and Teresa. Like, they're back to being on thin ice, which is always – they're always walking on eggshells around each other. What did you think about Gorga's response at the comedy show about Louis's video?
I mean, it's just funny. But, like, the thing is, I don't know how Joe and Melissa, like, put up with Teresa and her insane double standards. So, like, I understand you're not always going to say the right thing. I don't know. Was that the right thing to say about your sister? I don't know. But at the end of the day, you know what's so funny is Teresa's so, like, obsessed with herself. She's not even mad at Joe. Like, on Watch What Happens Live, the kids are mad at Joe. But she was like, well, Joe was defending me. You know, family over everything. Like, she, like, is so... obsessed with, like, you have to defend me, family, family, family. She doesn't even care that her kids are mad at their uncle. Like, she actually doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard spot to be in for Teresa. Not that I think she's handling it well. I don't know what else she could do. But, like, Joe Gorga isn't wrong in his assessment of Joe Giudice. But that is his niece's father. So, like, to say those things on television is really harmful. But we're also
filming. Do you remember that episode, Jackie?
What episode?
Where he said it. Like, they were at, I think they were at the Jersey Shore. They were at Dolores' house. Like, Teresa was being so unreasonable. Like, how any human being couldn't erupt. Like, I'm sorry. I totally understand.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's unfortunate that, like, it's on the show and now they have to live through it and this, like, feud is public. But that's the truth. What he said was the truth. And, like, when you push it, like, if you want to keep bringing it up and you want to push it, he's just going to, you know, spew that. So it's an unfortunate situation, I think, because the girls are so upset about it, but he wasn't lying, so
no.
I
thought it was a good episode. I enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the season. It should be good.
Yes, me too. I'm into it. I miss the ladies.
Me too. And that's our show. Anything else you want to talk about before we head out? Oh, I did finish Drag Race. I just want to say, like, Cornbread is great. I know I threw my support behind her, but, like, I think that Angeria might be one of the best queens who's ever graced the stage. That's all I'll say. And she definitely could win. Willow Pill, too.
Okay, but say it with caution because you don't want to, you know, do your classic jinx.
Curse.
Yeah.
I know. Totally. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday here on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast and where podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing hump day. Don't forget to hump someone you love. Jackie, make sure to tell everyone that you love them because people were really distraught that you didn't do it yesterday.
Love you guys. Bye.